Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. This is a special episode.
I'm Mike DeCamp. It is, and I'm Nancy DeCamp.
And Nancy has an incredibly fun idea.
We're being creative with our podcast today.
Yes, this episode is going to air right around Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Yeah, it's all about love. So we're gonna have
right,
a
all right.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a nice little conversation around Valentine's Day
and love. But before that, Mike, how about our
Ash and Elm sponsorship?
Our sponsor, yes. We'd like to thank Ash and Elm Cider Company for being our sponsor. What flavor are you drinking tonight?
I am indulging in apricot honeysuckle.
How do you like it?
It's tasty.
I've got the brown sugar rum, and I really like that. And we'll find out tonight's episode, while we're talking about love, is interesting because we don't have just one guest or two guests, or it's not just Mike and I, but we have a whole Cutter's Notch studio full of friends who volunteered to come and play this game with us a little bit. So what we will do,
rapid fire.
They come up, we'll do rapid fire questions. The first times we're going to introduce everybody. And if they have a cider, they can share what cider they tried tonight. And then we'll talk about, if you'll share your name, you can share your first name. You don't have to share. You could even make a name up if you really want to make a name up tonight and you don't want anybody else to know who you really are. You'll share your name if you tried a cider tonight, and then your creative indulgence.
And then we got a list of questions.
Yes. And everybody's going to ask a question. So it's going to be fun here in the studio. Everybody's going to be getting their steps in and moving around.
Yes, because we've got a live studio audience. So you will hear, things about. There you go. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with this tonight. So let's start. We've already hit Ash and Elm Cider, ashandelmcider.com.
On East Washington Street in Indianapolis. Check them out.
Absolutely. So Nancy?
Yes.
Kick this thing off.
All right. My creative indulgence. So lately I have been watching on Netflix. I stumbled across it. This show called Old Enough. Have you heard of it yet? It is the craziest show ever. It's like, I think they're all so far have taken place in Japan, and these families take their little 2-year-olds and they send them on an errand, and they have to go all by themselves. And it's both terrifying and heartwarming and heart wrenching at the same time to see these cute little kids while having to walk down to the store or to the temple and pick this up and get that. And check it out.
It's actually a little intense.
It is. It is. Now, the episodes are like 7 minutes to 15 minutes, so that's right up my speed. But lately, I've been indulging in that show.
Well, I've been indulging in a show on Paramount called Joe Pickett. I don't know if anybody's heard of Joe Pickett.
I've not heard of Joe Pickett.
If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I really liked the show Walt Longmire, or the Longmire episode, the Longmire show and the Longmire books. But I ran out of all the books. No, I haven't ran out of the books yet. I ran out of all the show episodes, and I've been going through different shows and watching different shows. But the one I want to focus on tonight also takes place in Wyoming, and it's also modern day. And Joe Pickett is a game warden in this little town of Wyoming. And it's full of corruption and intrigue. And he's like the one honest guy. He's like so honest. He gave the governor a ticket for fishing without a license.
Wow.
At the beginning. But at any rate, it's a great show. Love the show. And
I know that sounded so enthusiastic. Wow. Yeah. I'm glad you like it, Mike.
It's my creative indulgence, right. Not yours.
All right. Moving on to our first guest, Angela, which I'll tell a fun story real quick here. We were explaining to everybody.
Can I just pause and say that she was like, if you don't want to say your name, you don't have to. You can be anonymous. And the first thing she does when she gets on here is call me by
Angela.
Name.
They don't know. That could have, you just admitted, it could have been an anonymous
All
name.
Right, whatever. But what were you going to share?
Oh, I was going to share. We were sharing with all the guests here about how the microphones that we use are very directional. You have to speak directly into it. And in true Valentine's fashion, Angela was trying to describe and says, yes, it's like you're looking into the eyes of Mr.
That's
Darcy.
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
It was worse, actually, but I want it to be accurate. I said, you know, because you have to talk right into it. I'm like, just pretend like it's Mr. Darcy going in for a kiss and you don't want to miss. So you have to kind of line your lips right up.
There you go. Line your lips up for the microphone.
There's a reason I'm still single, I guess.
Angela.
Yes.
Did you try a cider tonight?
I'm having an alcohol-free night.
Okay. Tell us about your creative indulgence.
Okay. So I was waffling between two, but I'm going to go with, I recently watched The Witcher Blood Origin, which is sort of a spinoff of The Witcher TV series.
I didn't know that was out there.
I know, like, I don't know if it's actually canon by the book standards, but it sort of like tells you sort of the origin of how all of the monsters got in the world, like what the world was like, you know, thousands of years before the events of like the main Witcher series. So I just finished that and I've started rewatching The Witcher again, just, you know, like refresh my memory. Yeah.
Okay. Next guest.
I'm Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hi,
we're
Nancy.
So glad you're here tonight.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about your creative indulgence.
Well,
recent.
I'll start by saying my youngest son turned 21 this week.
Oh, wow.
And I did buy some Ash and Elm ciders
for
his 21st birthday. And my favorite is Fleeting Youth, which is raspberry and lemon flavor.
That is a good one. That is a good one.
But my indulgence for his birthday was we got a cake from Kim's Bakery on Madison. And it was a chocolate cake with a chocolate fudge cream filling. And it was very delicious.
That's, you know, I've heard that Kim's Cakery, they do cake flights occasionally. Like they will choose some of their different cakes and flavors that they do. And they will have a slice of it, different ones. And you buy the box and you have like maybe six different kinds of cake to try.
This was very sweet icing.
Okay.
So if you like that whipped cream icing, not for you.
Not for you.
I want it so sugary that you can taste the granules of sugar in the icing. It was fabulous.
Yeah. Well, good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. So hello. You going to give us your real name or a fake name?
You can hear my real name.
Okay.
My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Nancy?
Good, good. And do you have a creative indulgence to share with us tonight?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
It's a little different from everybody else's, I think.
That's okay.
I am hooked on Wordle.
Are you really? Are you good at it?
I'm pretty good at it. I usually get it in three or four.
Wow.
Sometimes I get it in two.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a friend who introduced me to Waffle Wordle.
What?
Which is even better.
What's that?
Waffle Wordle is actually more than just the one word. It's a combination. It's like a small crossword puzzle.
Oh, really?
But all the letters are there. You just have to rearrange them. So now I'm hooked on that.
Now you're hooked on that.
But it is only once a day.
Like Wordle is.
But what I have been doing, because I am so hooked on it, and I like it so much, they have an archive of the old Waffle Wordles from when they started back in February. And I just completed every day of those last night.
Oh, you did it all in one night?
Over a few weeks.
Over a few weeks?
Over a few weeks.
All right. Well, that's definitely an indulgence then.
Yes, it is.
Do you feel smarter? Like, you know, have you learned more words or you just...
I have, because at the end... You can see the definition of each word, because a lot of the words I don't understand. I never heard of before.
Oh, okay. So. I never got into it. I think I tried it once, and that was it.
Yeah. Oh, I love them. Well, see, I've always loved crossword puzzles.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. Awesome. And also with us, we have...
Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you tonight?
Jim.
Jim has a fan club here. So, Jim, it looks like you have a cider with you. What have you tried tonight?
This is semi-sweet.
Semi-sweet?
Very good.
Yeah, you like it? Now, had you tried their ciders before at Ash and Elm?
No. I used to go to a cidery in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And this is much better.
Okay. Well, good. Well, Jim, can you tell me of your most recent or a creative indulgence that you want to share with us tonight?
Well, couple.
Okay.
In the middle of December, we had a fantastic weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We started out at this big, beautiful church in Old Town Chicago. Saw a Baroque orchestra.
Yeah.
And chorus.
A Baroque orchestra?
Baroque.
Yeah.
It wasn't broke.
No, not broke.
Baroque. Yeah, broke. They had a little money.
Yep. The next day, we went to the Goodman Theater and saw A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Then that night, we went to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Well, now that definitely sounds an indulgence of a weekend.
Yep. Then Sunday, we went to the Kris Kringle Market.
Yes, yes.
That was actually an unpleasant experience, but...
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
But it set up the evening, and then the evening we went back to Chicago Symphony Hall, and their brass from the orchestra had a concert just on their own.
Very nice. Very good. I always appreciate, Jim is always good about sending me music clips of such, and the most recent one you sent me this morning, I did listen to today, and I really, really enjoyed that. I didn't get a chance to respond to you yet, but I enjoyed that.
Now, I also wanted to mention that the other thing I'm doing is on Apple Plus TV, my son and I are watching the series For All Mankind, and that's the premise of that is, what if the Russians got to the moon before the Americans did? How would that change history?
Oh, wow.
And it's, I can't really explain it in a short period of time,
but
it's really good.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. So we just started season three, which takes place in 1995. The president is Gary Hart is president.
Huh. Yeah, that changed history.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I would go on too long. I'll just leave it at
that. All right. Okay. Awesome. Thanks. Well, let's move on to our next guest then. Hello.
Hello. David Michael here. How are we?
I'm good. How are you, David?
Jazz Dandy. Thanks good. For having me on.
Sure. Tell me about the cider you chose tonight.
I have jumped on the bike with Mike, and I've got the apricot honeysuckle myself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Although we had so many options going in on that with these ciders of the month. So the immediate one they said was apricot honeysuckle. I was like, okay, jump on board here. But then we're like, the brown sugar plum. I'm like, okay. And then there's the habanero. I'm like, there's too many. I'm going to just...
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I got to stay somewhat sober.
You can have that habanero.
I told him that. He said he's a real habanero man. I was like, you're going home with you tonight.
It's yours.
Yeah.
Habanero and cider, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, David, do you want to share your most recent creative indulgence?
Well, I'm picking more up as I go that I need to look into, getting some great ideas here tonight.
Yeah.
But one of my most interesting myself, Escape the Room was always a big hobby of mine, where you get locked in the room. You've got a bunch of different puzzles, keys, etc. Obviously, those got a little bit of a setback, shut down with COVID.
Right.
Obviously, it's kind of hard to be locked in a room with strangers now and even masked
breathe
up.
Breathe in their same, all that. Yeah.
Hard to be a little 6 feet apart in those kinds of situations. But luckily, there's a series called Exit by Thames and Cosmos. And it's a board game done at home. And you can do it either by yourself or with friends. And it's literally set up like a mini little, like, do it on the table, escape the room.
Really?
And it's just a bunch of puzzles that are situated the same exact way like you would in escape room. So it's great practice for once we can get back into those escape rooms. But also they're just a lot of fun and they're very creative.
They're not frustrating?
Oh, absolutely frustrating. No, these are, there are some very...
That's why I haven't ever done an escape room, because I'm like, yeah, I'd be like, let me kick the door down and just be done with it.
No, absolutely. Some really creative themes, and especially they do a great job of incorporating everything. And I don't want to spoil anything in case anyone does take a look into these, but each game's got its own twist too. And then they just keep adding these, like you'd think that it would start to kind of repeat itself and that it would get old, like because they have so many different versions, but every time there's something new and there's a new twist, and it's absolutely frustrating, but at the same time, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks. And our next guest.
Hello. This is Andrea.
How are you, Andrea?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good.
So tell me, what cider did you pick tonight?
I picked the caramelized apple
cider. I've not tried that one yet. Had you had it before?
I had not. I'd had a few of the others. Like, I'm pretty sure I had the brown sugar rum at one point over the holidays, but I hadn't had the caramelized apple, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's very nice and smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like all of their drinks are very smooth.
Oh, yeah. Very delicious.
So tell me about your creative indulgence.
So my creative indulgence right now is a Nintendo Switch game called Spiritfarer. And I know, of course, but it's essentially a game where this girl becomes the, you know, in mythology, how those who pass away have to go onto the boat and the boat takes them across the river. So essentially she takes over the role as the person on the boat. And so she has to go around and do all these like favors for these little souls and help them and feed them
and then
take them to the Everdoor, which is where they go to eventually pass. And so it seems really dark and sad, but
does she sing "Row, row, row your boat"?
No.
Okay.
Although that sounds fun.
We could introduce it to the developers. Yes, maybe.
But I have found myself playing for hours. Uh-oh. One night after dinner, I started playing and it was about 7. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, it's after midnight. I'm like, what in the world am I doing? So
yeah,
it happens.
That definitely would qualify as an indulgence then.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Who are you and how are you?
My name is Courtney. And I'm doing pretty good.
Courtney, tell me about what flavor you chose tonight on the cider.
I chose the semi-sweet. And I've had it before.
Yep.
Big Ash and Elm fan. So
good. Yeah. Have you gone to their restaurant yet?
Yes.
Yeah. I love their stuff there. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I've been to their old location and then they moved. So I've been to both places now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your creative indulgence.
My creative indulgence is cooking right now. So
really? Like what kind of cooking? Our next guests are shaking her head like, yeah, not in this lifetime.
You know what?
Yeah, not me.
I'm not sure how I made it 27, 28 years, but when COVID hit and you aren't going to restaurants as much, figured I should probably figure out how to make some meals.
Okay. Okay.
So opened some cookbooks and took some lessons with some friends and I've kind of just explored it from there.
So what do you like cooking the most right now or just trying new stuff or?
Trying new stuff. So this week was tostadas, which are really good. I learned how to make basic roast, which is really good.
Nice.
So some simple things, some things are a little bit more foreign, outside of the American cuisine for me. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know how to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can make a bowl of cereal.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm really good at that.
That was basically where my cooking was a few years ago.
Well, I'm right there with you.
All right. Our next guest. See, I told you we talked to a lot of people tonight. Yeah, you can move it down just a little bit because you want to talk straight into it. You know, Mr. Darcy, the whole Mr. Darcy thing that Angela mentioned earlier, you know. So hello, and who are you?
I am Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Glad that you're here tonight. And
here.
Can you tell us about your creative indulgence?
I had to look it up because I always get the name wrong. I have been watching a Netflix series called How to Get Away with Murder and kind of worrying my husband with it.
Should your husband be concerned about the fact you're watching that show?
No.
No, definitely. He shouldn't worry about that. No.
I mean, it's almost Valentine's Day. I'm not going to try to kill him or anything.
Yeah. Well, good.
Not until after.
Yeah.
You know, there's a pond nearby. There's a pond on Southport Road.
Oh, no.
When they were building this neighborhood, they're still building the neighborhood, but one of the first things they did was they dug the pond.
The retention pond.
And the retention pond was like 50 feet deep.
It's
deep. Huge.
It is so deep.
Of Mariana's Trench, but have you heard of this pond?
The Southport Trench.
Comparable. Yeah, yeah. Southport Trench. Yeah.
We were driving by one day and Nancy looks at it and she goes, wow, that's deep. Somebody's husband's going to end up in there.
First place I'm looking if your husband's missing, Teresa.
Okay. So
if I go missing.
I'll keep that in mind. We'll tell him to search there first.
Okay.
You'd have to have like some stones or, you know, weight them down. No,
you're thinking this through.
This is supposed to be the romantic podcast episode. Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie pie.
She'll paint the rock red or pink or something.
Put little hearts on it.
Yeah.
Smiley faces.
Yeah.
It'd be too much work to do all that. So.
All right. So.
So now we're going to get into our questions. Da, 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 da. Time to.
Teresa, you rotate. Switch.
It's how acute is. They get out of here.
Never claim to be smart.
All right. We're going to go two questions because the first one's a really quick question. So I'm going to give you two questions before we rotate.
All right.
To the
rapid
next
fire.
People.
Let's go.
Okay.
Ready. I'm so ready.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Okay. What is the first thing that you notice in someone that you're attracted to?
Was that question amended for me?
Yes, it was amended for everybody.
Once the first thing I noticed about someone that I'm already attracted to.
Yes. Or that you notice and you're like, I'm attracted to them.
It's not what causes you to be attracted to them.
What do you want it to be, Mike?
There you go. I think it's whatever attracts you.
I probably once had a really good answer to this question. At this point, it doesn't take a whole lot. Like, who's out there that doesn't have like too many issues, I guess. But traditionally, probably like a really good warm smile.
A warm smile.
Yeah. Like I think people are sometimes too afraid to lean into just being happy and loving the things they love. So I love when I see somebody get really into the thing that they care about and just like really, they're so oblivious to the rest of the world that they're just doing a genuine smile. Yeah. I love a genuine smile. And people just don't do that.
Not nearly enough.
But I'm not going to go up to somebody and be like, you should smile more, because that's a no-no. So gentlemen, don't do that to women. Or anybody, don't nobody do that to anybody. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
just frown.
Just some advice to people.
So, you know what, Mike, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you married?
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
37 and a half years.
Okay.
Almost good. 38.
Thanks. I needed to know.
She's fishing for compliments as well.
If you're going to do that, I get to do it. Okay. So what about me attracted me to you?
No. Wait, what about you? No, it's not direction specific. It's just about anything in general. So like if you didn't exist or I didn't exist, what attracts you to someone?
When you were 20 years old, what attracts you to someone? Because I was the one that you were attracted to when you were 20 years old.
I know my answer. I'm asking you first.
Oh, wait a minute. You did not ask that.
You hadn't. Oh my gosh, this is getting way too confusing. Mom is asking two questions at a time.
Oh, okay.
She asked the first question, not the second question. Then you jumped in with the second question without even asking her the first question.
I turned the table on her. Okay. Well, it's a good thing we got edit. Sorry, Dana. I can cut this out. So to answer your question, what's the question again?
The attraction meter is going down. Maybe you shouldn't have asked this of each other.
This whole section's getting sliced.
I'm going to pass the mic to someone else.
I will say probably one of the things that I'm most attracted to in someone is their sense of humor. Ah. I won't go with the physical. I mean, there's different physical things that, you know, everybody likes in someone else, but I will say a good sense of humor. And I mean, good. I mean, it has to match my sense of humor.
Ah.
So
37 and a half years. I'll go with that.
Dana.
Yes.
Are you married?
Not anymore.
All right. Can you tell me what's something that attracts you to someone?
Well, I am that 1980 material girl, and I like someone who can dance.
Yep.
And I like to see what they're wearing. I'm a shopper.
Yes, you are a shopper. You are. I will confirm that for sure. So dance, that's important.
There you go.
So anybody who wants to catch Dana's eye, just bust a move when she comes into the room.
Prince, right? Michael Jackson.
There you go. There you go. All right. Joe's back.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Are you married?
Yes, I am. It will be 47 years on Tuesday, January 17th.
This Tuesday?
Yes.
Well, congratulations. Well, that's if he makes it that far.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a couple of days, Jim, to go in.
A few more days.
So what would you say attracts you to somebody else?
Well, I guess it depended on what age I was at.
Okay.
When I was,
so it's changed for you.
Yeah. When I was younger, when I did meet my husband at that time, I was in my 20s. It was looks.
Okay.
First. Now, as I've gone through many men until I did meet my husband, I guess it would be personality and how they treat you and kindness. And like Angela had said, a really sweet smile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind eyes.
Kindness is really important.
Yes, very important.
So underrated when people are in the searching world.
Yeah.
Very for important. Sure. So, all right. Welcome back, Jim.
Hi there.
So, in case the audience hasn't guessed, are you married and how long have you been married?
Well, you guys are not going to believe this, but I was married 47 years ago too, on Tuesday.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So you and Joe are like twins.
Yeah. But I would say one other thing. Tomorrow is the 48th anniversary of when we met.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where did you meet? How did you meet?
Well, it starts, I'm getting all the details in here. Okay, a friend and I went to see the Cleveland Cavaliers play a basketball game.
Yes.
And which they won 89-81 over the Portland Trailblazers. And on the way home, we stopped at a bar, and she was at that bar.
Well, there you go. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
So what attracts you to somebody?
Well, what attracted me that night was her eyes, and still does, the smiling, crinkly little.
She's got a glimmer, huh?
Yeah. And so that's something that I still look for.
Okay. Awesome. Now we're on to David. David.
I got to say first, I switched over to the agave habanero, by the way.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Spectacular. I will be stealing those with me.
Okay.
100%. Okay. The spice
good.
Hits.
Good. If you don't drink them all before you go, right?
Yes. Don't tempt me with a good time. No, this was the spice hit just the right way. So I'm all for it.
Okay. So awesome. You habanero fans out there.
That's right.
See there, B Square. So David, are you married?
I am not married. No.
All right. What's the first thing that attracts you to somebody else?
To kind of answer that with a loaded answer, I'm going to go ahead and say reactions. When I say reactions, there's a lot of things that come with that. So some people earlier said smiles. So smiles definitely part of those reactions. So it depends on the setting that you're in. If it's a one-on-one, even over nowadays, like everyone's on the apps. So reactions to certain questions, like, is it a complicated, if you ask a complicated question, do you get a complicated answer back? Do you get something like fulfilling, or do you get just kind of like a short one word answer like, yeah, or that's funny or something short? Or if you're in kind of a more standard, I guess, if you're at a bar, people's reactions there can differ. When you spot that person across the bar, sure, there's some physical traits, but there's also if they're with a group of friends, how are they interacting with that group of friends? Are they having a good time? Do they look like they don't want to be there anymore? Are they having the worst time ever of their lives? Are they smiling? Are they laughing? Do they look like they could?
Are they crying tears in their beer kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Things like that. How are they going to like react to you upon approach? And then reactions like on first meetings. So reactions are kind of what attracts me, whether or not it kind of, that's what creates chemistry anyways. Can there be chemistry? What are these reactions? Do I want to approach this person? Does this person not seem my style at all? So for the long or short of it, reactions.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hello, Andrea.
Hello. I'm back.
You are back.
Are you married?
Not even close. Nope.
Nope. Nada.
Nope.
Nilch. So tell us, what attracts you?
I would say humor and, similar to my sister, a good smile.
A good smile.
Someone who has a very warm, friendly,
do they have to have
smile.
Teeth?
It helps. Generally, it helps, but you know, you don't know what someone's circumstance is.
You can have good dentures. That's fine.
Right? Exactly. But definitely a good, warm and inviting smile.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
That's it. It's hard to follow that very engaging response that David gave before mine. So sorry, it's just a smile.
You know what? Speaks. A lot. It speaks a lot.
Thank you.
Courtney.
Yes.
Are you married?
No.
So tell us, what attracts you to somebody?
You know what? Growing up with different apps, it comes down to looks initially.
Okay.
That's what attracts
is
you.
Do you have a look?
Hair, good eyes, nice smile. They're kind of what goes for someone who looks like they're pretty fit and active, because I like to be fit and active.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're swiping away, that's initially what gets you, and what keeps them around is going to be their personality, their humor.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yes.
All right. Teresa.
Yes.
Are you married?
I am.
How long have you been married?
36 and a half years.
Okay. Yeah, you were married just the year after we were, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what attracts you to somebody?
I would say physically probably smile like most of the others. And then this might surprise you, but people who are calm and not interested in all the, like a real exciting person. Sorry, Steve. But I mean,
you don't want somebody who just gets sucked into the drama.
Right. he was, I'm attracted to people who are calm and kind and,
yep.
and just, not crazy and wild. That doesn't,
yeah,
for me.
You matched well.
Yes.
You matched well. I know Teresa's husband and I think well of him and that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Calm, doesn't get sucked up into the drama and nope. is kind.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Nancy.
Yes.
Can I have another shot at that?
You have, yes, you can.
So go ahead and ask me the question and let me answer it.
What's the first thing you notice in someone that you're attracted to? What attracts you to somebody?
Well, I would think at the beginning of when I first met the person that I am married to, it was looks. I must admit, it was looks. It was those exotic eyes and the curly brown hair.
Do you know I had exotic eyes and I had curly hair at one time,
yeah,
girls.
Yeah. But what really kind of pulled me in was sense of humor and personality and just the way that we clicked as friends.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that was to give you a straight up answer.
Yeah.
That was my answer. So
that's a good answer.
I'm trying to make up for all that garbly goop I did earlier.
All right. Next question. Angela.
Yes.
What are your plans for Valentine's Day this year?
Well, I have class, so I'll be in grad school.
Boy, that sounds fun.
It's called Managing Change and Organizational Development. So if anybody is looking for a graduate degree and you're interested in one, the Master of Public Affairs at the O'Neill School in Indianapolis is probably one of the best.
The place to be.
I know. I wish I had a better answer. I wanted to get together with Andrea because Andrea and I usually get together and get like a heart-shaped pizza. I even I knew exactly what movie I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
It was going to be music and lyrics. I don't know why, but I was in a Drew Barrymore, Hugh Grant mood. And that's why I was going to force her to watch with me, but no, nope.
Well, maybe you could do it the weekend before.
Maybe, I don't know. I'll probably just skip it.
Yeah.
As unexciting as that answer is, but yeah, I'm in class.
All right. Hi, Dana. Welcome back.
Hi, Nancy.
What are your plans for Valentine's Day this year?
Well, I am an elementary school teacher.
Oh, you're going to have all kinds of fun that day then, aren't you?
We will be having a Valentine's Day party and, passing out Valentine's Day cards, so yeah. Cake and cookies and candy. And I'm also an elementary athletic coordinator, and we have a girls' basketball game after school.
Do you
day.
Really?
So that kind of takes up my Valentine's
That'll
Day.
Be your Valentine's Day. A lot of little loves all over the place. Yes. What kind of things do you do at your parties at your elementary school?
Well, children usually bring their pack of Valentine's Day cards and fill them out at school, okay. and then we pass them out in the mailboxes and whatever treats we have. The kids like to take turns passing them out.
You sugar them up and send them home?
Yes, we might play some games. We probably will watch a Valentine's Day movie, not Drew Barrymore, although I like that one.
Yeah.
Maybe like Franklin's Valentine's.
Okay. Can't say I've seen that one.
Franklin the Turtle?
Yeah. I know of the character, but I can't say I've watched Franklin the Turtle and his Valentine's.
He drops all of his Valentine's out of his backpack because he doesn't zip up his backpack and they fall into the snow and get ruined.
Man, poor Franklin.
I won't spoil the ending.
All right, everybody go look it up. Hi, Joe. Welcome back.
Hi, Nancy.
So tell me, what are your Valentine's Day plans?
Well, right now we really don't have any. We will be in Cleveland, Ohio the weekend before. So that might be the day we're actually driving back.
You might be
from
driving
Cleveland. I don't know. We might stop at a Outback or something. Who knows? So we haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay. All right. So Jim.
Yes, that would be me.
What are your Valentine's plans? Do you have plans that Joe doesn't know about yet?
Well, I consider the weekend in Cleveland the Valentine's Day plan.
Okay.
That's true. You see,
was it important to you at one point in time to do Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day? Or has it never really mattered a whole lot?
No, we never really did much on Valentine's Day. I can't remember if it was Valentine's Day or anniversary that I think it was we had really bad weather that day and we ended up at a Bob Evans because that was the only thing open, I think, because like power was out all over. So, but that might have been our anniversary.
Joe, I apologize for this, but there was a time when Jim and I actually spent Valentine's.
That's true. Well,
that's the other thing.
Yes, they've been to Valentine's at a really nice restaurant, and you and I are probably home eating peanut butter and jelly. That's
Cracker true. Barrel. It was Cracker Barrel. So
that doesn't surprise me because
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Seems like he was out of town a lot for like my birthday. Or, yeah.
Oh, I'm sensing, one of those I'm sensing holidays. A little need for some
uh-oh,
love here.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Jim, you better up those plans. So do you have plans for this Valentine's?
No.
The weekend before, you said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to go to a fancy restaurant.
Plus, we're going nice to the concert. Symphony.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Going to the symphony. Nice.
And, yes, I mean, there'll be a Bob Evans open on the way home, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's fine. Whatever, Cracker Barrel.
Or Cracker Barrel, something like that. I know what I feel like when we were younger, celebrating Valentine's on Valentine's Day was so important. And now it's kind of like, yeah, whenever.
No
whatever.
Big deal anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I can never plan far enough ahead because it's like, well, matter of fact, the one restaurant we want to go to in Cleveland, and this is the Saturday before Valentine's Day, is they have a wait list now.
Yeah.
At 4:30.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
So,
all right.
Wherever we get in, that's where we get in.
Wow. Well, while we're getting our next guest, Mike, do you have Valentine's Day plans this year? Are you even going to be in town?
Yeah.
You are know, you with Jim's replacement this year funny, having dinner?
Funny thing is I was actually looking at my calendar and thinking about a travel date, and I was like, oh, that's Valentine's. Can't leave that day. But I don't have a specific plan yet, but we'll come up with something.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So thanks for asking.
Sure. Put it on your to-do list.
I will.
And I'm like Jim and Joe. It doesn't have to be on the day or whatever. You know?
You're not really set on those calendar dates.
I don't let Hallmark drive my life, you know?
Okay.
Actually, I like celebrating it later because then you can get everything half off the day after. I will say my Valentine's Day plans is something I do every year is I make a particular type of almond sugar cookie that's iced in the shape of hearts that my daughters always benefit from and my mother benefits from. So I will and say the I one benefit you from benefit them. From them yeah. too, but I would say my one for sure I know I will do to celebrate Valentine's Day is I'll be making those traditional heart cookies.
Nice.
So, next guest.
David's back.
David's back. David, do you have Valentine's plans yet?
We temporarily had plans. We were hoping to head over to Columbus, Ohio and check out the Columbus Blue Jackets versus the New Jersey Devils. Yeah. But, you know, Valentine's, as we're discussing, being on a Tuesday kind of makes things tricky to be
it
able to.
It does. It's kind of like having Halloween on a Tuesday or something. Yeah. You know, it just how doesn't it, work as well.
How is it the 14th of February seems to always land on a Tuesday? Seems like it's always on a Tuesday.
That's what I'm like, everybody is staring at him.
I mean, I guess it does give Tuesday vibes. I don't know.
It seems like it's always on a Tuesday.
Government planning. I don't know. Hallmark holidays, sponsorships with restaurants when they need
it's
a busy
a
night.
Conspiracy.
They were like, Tuesday's our slowest night of the week. We need something. And they were like, let's Valentine's Day.
There you go.
Tuesdays. Done. And two people, Tuesdays, conspiracy. It's all it is.
It works.
No, but those were the flexible plans. We'll see what happens. But the nice part about my relationship, my partner, is even if those plans don't per se happen, we could fall back on something completely casual, something very quiet, and still have a great time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited no matter what. It doesn't have to be the day of, doesn't have to be the actual day, but just to have an excuse to spend some time with them. So that'll be a good time.
All right. Good. Andrea.
Well... I was going to have plans with my sister, who you likely heard from earlier.
Yes, who's going to...
She has class. So that changes my plans.
You should show up at her class with a heart-shaped pizza.
That would be really fun. She might not be a fan of that. Also, but that's okay. She got sad when I said that I was going to buy myself a heart-shaped pizza regardless. So... She was sad.
Well, but yeah, I can understand that.
We really enjoyed doing that last year. We got a heart-shaped pizza and some like a dessert with it and watched a movie. And it was a really great time. But this year it is on Tuesday, which means it's discount Tuesday at the movies.
Oh,
so I might just
take yourself to the
pamper
movies?
Myself, have a heart-shaped pizza, and go to the movies. We'll see.
Well, there's possibilities there you go. Right? Yep.
Absolutely.
Courtney.
Yes.
Do you have Valentine's plans or some plans you would like to?
There were potential plans, but it looks like it's probably going to be a low-key Valentine's Day. So we will, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might Are you a flowers kind of person or a chocolate kind of person?
I never thought I was a flowers person, but it's always fun to get flowers.
Yeah. I like them when you're not expecting them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting eyes.
Studio audience is paying attention.
I am a flowers person now. I do definitely enjoy getting them on surprise. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yes. Teresa. Yes. Do you have Valentine's Day plans this year? And if so, what are they?
We do not. We do go out to dinner once in a while. Steve usually buys me flowers, but I don't like them on Valentine's Day. They raise the prices.
Yeah,
and right. So I would rather have them when I'm not expecting
them. Yeah, than I Valentine's. Like that too.
Kind of like you said, it's a Hallmark day.
Yeah.
And so I don't see the sense in paying double or whatever right. for flowers when.
Is there it's something just you like day. To do for your Valentine?
I used to quite a bit. I'm crafty, so I would make the card. First of all, and then sometimes I would make like a dinner and I would like cut the potatoes in a heart shape and,
aww.
You know, yeah, whatever yeah, yeah. I made, I all did it with that theme in mind and made a red or pink dessert and stuff. And when the boys were in school, I'd send them boxes to open and stuff like that. Nice. But now that they're grown and out of the house, I don't really do much other than I still make a card almost every year for
I love
him.
For my friends out there or podcast listeners, my friend Teresa here makes homemade cards and I just love the few times that you've sent me, I've gotten a card in the mail from you and it just makes it that much more special because I know that you made it.
And I love it because I like getting them too, but it gives me joy to give to them give out them. To people.
Yeah, yeah.
If I get my act together, maybe I'll get one this year.
Okay. Well, there's a whole, send it to me for St. Patrick's Day or for Memorial Day or something, you know, do something that isn't expected.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. May do that.
All right.
I get to ask the next set of questions.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that you said, I get to do this. Wait, is that okay?
Well, I'm trying to make sure the Valentine's Day for me turns out okay. So, Angela.
Yes.
Welcome back. Tell us about your first kiss.
Oh, it was fine. I mean, I guess I've told this story a number of times, and I think about it a little bit differently now. I was a late bloomer in my mind. I was 18, and it was the summer between high school and college, and I had been kind of sort of seeing somebody that summer, and I knew he liked me. I wasn't sure how I felt about him. And he showed up, he had an evening job and he showed up before, at my house before he had to head off. And we were kind of sitting in the back of the truck bed and talking. And then he was like, oh, well, I better go. And he went in and kind of, he just kissed me. It was, mm-hmm. I think I made it more dramatic in my other tellings of it because I knew in that moment that I was not into him. And so I felt really weird about it. And, he kissed me and as he was kissing me, I felt really nervous and I was like, oh, I don't know how to kiss. And then he like kind of backed away and he was like, it's okay. I'll teach you sometime. And he like got in his car and drove away. And I was so mad that he said that. I was like, no, you won't. Like in my head, I was like, you're not going to be doing that. And so he didn't ever again.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Dana, do you remember your first kiss?
I'm too old to remember back that far. I think I was like 13 or something.
Yeah, about the junior high age?
Yeah.
All right.
Really don't remember much.
So it didn't rock your world at
it
that point.
It did not rock my world.
Mike, do you remember your first kiss?
I do. My first kiss happened in the parking lot of the Delaware County Fair.
Oh, you're and at the fair.
I was at the fair with my very first girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And we were done walking the fair. We went back to the car. We're sitting in the car in the parking lot. And I was so, so incredibly nervous.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then we just kind of cuddled up next to each other, and I eventually...
You got the courage.
Eventually, I got the kiss in. It was just one kiss. Just one.
Yeah?
Yeah, but that was off to the races after that.
It rocked your world,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it was off to the races after that. So we won't go into that. Nancy, what about you? First kiss.
Oh, goodness. My first kiss. So I was junior high age, somewhere around there, you know, 12, 13, 14, something in there. And one of the boys in the neighborhood I liked, and he liked me, and I won't mention his name, but he had walked me. We'd been walking down the street, and he walked me home and out in front of my parents' house. He goes in for the kiss. I knew he was going to kiss me. He goes in for a French kiss.
Oh, right off the bat.
I was not prepared for that. So
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Right
there. So like my face and mouth all got licked, and it was, yeah.
Not a good move.
Not a good move. I mean, he's a nice guy. And we, you know, even after we had the little, you know, date a little each other, break up a little each other in junior high, you know, we were fine, but, I'm sure there were not great stories and ballads written about me and my response.
Joe.
Hello, Mike.
Tell us about your first kiss.
Oh, boy. Okay. My first kiss was from a friend in high school.
Yeah.
And it was basically, he was teaching me to kiss because I had never kissed anyone.
That's very thoughtful.
But he was a good friend.
I should have used that plan when I was in middle school. He was a good friend. Hey, you know, could I help you learn to kiss? You know, mm-hmm. I could.
Let's help each other out
just
here.
Yeah. I'm just being a friend. Right. Just being a friend.
That's right.
Should have tried that. That
strategy. Did you ever date or have?
Oh
any
no, he and I were just very, very good friends, and we were friends until he passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, that is a good friend. Yeah. Looking out for you.
Just a good friend. Yes. Very good friend.
Jim,
lean into the microphone and tell us about your first kiss. Oh, gross.
Don't get me started, y'all. Well, I guess in a similar way, my first kiss was actually with my cousin. And it was one of those, we were both.
You're getting some really good looks from the peanut gallery.
No, but I mean, we were practicing and we were both concerned that we would be able to kiss when the time was right, not with each other, but so we practiced together. So, but my first real kiss with a, you know, a girl that, well, I sort of liked.
Yeah.
That you weren't related to.
That wasn't related, well, as far as I know, but I haven't done the search, but probably 15 or 16, sophomore or junior, where we went on a hayride, and it was kind of set up because her best friend told me ahead of time that tonight we were going to be kissing. So I knew it was
they orchestrated it all for you. That does tend to happen when you're a young teenager, that friends tend to orchestrate that kind of thing.
But it was really awkward, and she wore braces and,
oh no.
And I wasn't quite sure of what to do. And
after all that practice.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know,
yeah. Yeah.
When it counts, you know, you want it to be better than that. So,
right.
So that was probably, that was also one of my more awkward dates too. I would
guess. Yeah. Yeah. We've all had them. That's for sure. David's coming back up with his habanero. Oh, wait a minute, Joe, before you leave, just lean into the mic. You don't have to put the headphones on. You don't want, looks like you picked up a cider. Which flavor
yes,
did you
I
choose?
Did. I'm trying the semi-sweet cider.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a nice mild, nice mild thing. All right, as David comes up, we've got him preparing to tell us the story of his very first kiss.
The very first kiss. That answers my clarifying question.
What you count as your first kiss.
So that's the point is, you know, there's the on the kid in the schoolyard. No, nothing with my cousin, unfortunately, I guess. I've got nothing of that sort. So.
No best friends.
That's an experience. No, nothing for that one. Obviously, the older colleagues who think they have an idea. No, there's the getting tackled on the schoolyard at recess and getting swarmed that way, like the running when everyone has cooties, like that's the original, like you don't want to be kissed. But no,
right.
But I think my first official kiss was Halloween, there was a Halloween dance at our local rec center around sixth or seventh grade. I can't remember between the two. It was one of the years in middle school. But I had met a girl from another school at this dance, and she just completely random, like the music's loud, but just like obviously like having the best time, a great reaction. If I'll jump on my answer from before.
Yeah.
So, but we're hitting it off, like just at least like joking around, like having a great time. We exchanged phone numbers and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my first time getting a number from a girl. This is great. And she's just had a very spunky attitude, just very sassy, like a lot of fun. And in her tone of sass, said when we were parting ways, like with each other's phone, she said, what, no kiss goodbye. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this what I'm supposed to do? Did I miss this cue? I'm so sorry. And then like leaned in, like gave her a kiss and then was out the door. Came to realize later, like that was just like not usually how it goes, but they weren't too mad about it. We went on a few dates later on. So
it was
I guess everything worked out.
All right. Yes.
Andrea.
Yeah, Dad.
Tell me about your first kiss.
You want to hear my first kiss?
Yeah. What was the first kiss?
My first kiss was my 14th birthday party.
Yeah.
With my boyfriend at the time. His name was Brian. And
I remember that kid.
Yeah. We don't need to go into detail about him. It's fine. But he decided that for my birthday, his gift to me was going to be my first kiss. And so it happened on our deck at the little ornate table that we have. Mm-hmm. And everyone had kind of left by that point. And I walked out there and he was sitting at the table and I sat down and then he kissed me. I don't know if I kissed him back. He used to joke that I didn't know how to kiss because of that. But that was my first kiss.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
That's interesting. So my first kiss and each of our daughters' first kiss happened like right in front of their or right by their home.
Yeah. What a pattern.
Courtney.
Yes.
Tell us about your first kiss.
So the first kiss, like most, are probably not that exciting. A little peck party somewhere. But my most recent first kiss was more interesting. It was a wager one. So that's a more interesting story.
Oh, tell us about that.
So we wore we were out playing games. We were at Penn's downtown having a good time and playing a little Connect Four. And the wager for the winner was a kiss. So that was their guess. I lost. So
did you win?
I did. So I was kind of a winner anyway.
Those are the kind of wagers you want to lose.
It was a win-win for me. So it was a good wager for me.
Everybody was around.
Everyone was around.
So I guess maybe you feel in what they say. Sometimes you can hide in a crowd.
Well, she apparently doesn't mind kissing in public. I think that's what I'm picking up from there.
We used to. That's what, when I was a kid growing up and you'd see somebody, maybe they'd be on the front porch with their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and they would kiss. We'd be riding our bikes by and we'd be like, go get a room. We would harass people that way. Like, we don't want to see your public display of affection.
When I was in business college, we were in this, it was like a storefront. You could see the giant plate windows and you could see right out into the parking lot. And there was this couple. He would come and get her from school and they would sit in the car and make out, and their entire windshield would get completely fogged over. And it was like,
we
really?
Used to
right here in front of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So my friend Trace is here and we were in marching band together, and there was a couple that dated in high school in marching band and they eventually got married and all of that. But they would park in the park like after the ball game. And so some of us would be in a car cruising around. We would realize, oh, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. And so we would pull up real quiet behind the car and then we would slam on the horn and it's like, I'm telling mom. And then we would peel out just to disrupt the activity a little bit.
She's not talking about me. I wasn't in the car.
No, no. She might have been in the car with me yelling at him. But
Well, it was a bar-esque situation.
A bar-esque, so that's more acceptable.
It's a little bit more acceptable.
Okay. Not out in front of the business college.
Very good.
So, Teresa, tell us about your first kiss.
Well, I'm kind of like Dana, too old, don't remember a lot of it. The only thing I was thinking while I was waiting
is I think we played Spin the Bottle. That was probably my first kiss. I don't remember anything about being interested in spinning the bottle.
It was just a thing that everybody was doing. It was just a game that people were doing.
But I don't remember who I kissed or if I kissed someone or anything. And I don't have any really good
forgettable
stories.
Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, didn't rock your world.
I wasn't all that exciting either. I said my husband wasn't, but I wasn't either.
You obviously needed some cousins or something.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Very Game of Thrones in here.
Right.
So, Angela.
Yeah.
If you could date any celebrity, who would it be?
I have a list, actually.
You have a list of celebrities?
I list. I think I shared this with some friends the other night, too. I keep a lot of lists of things that I enjoy, things that I want to make sure I have in case I need to know. And one of those is celebrity crushes. Okay. Got my list here.
Oh, okay. Tell us your list.
Sam Rockwell, Dave Patel, Henry Cavill, Raul Coley, I think it's Manish Dayal, and specifically 1980s James Spader.
So not the one who's aged.
No, he has to be specifically. And if we're going to be more specific, And then maybe this says a little bit about me and why I'm in therapy, but him as Steph in Pretty in Pink, he's kind of the villain in that movie.
Ah, okay.
So, but yeah, he's cute and he's got this like smooth, swaffed hair. It's not a real word, probably.
Swaffed.
And I know that this is going to sound bad, but like in that movie, there's like a scene, like he's like kind of mean to her and bullies her, but it's secretly because he actually has feelings for her and he's embarrassed that he does. So he instead channels it as like being a jerk. And he's got this line. He like goes and looks at her and he's like, this is a cuss word, so I'm going to bleep it myself. But he's like, you're a bee. And he says it in like in a way that you're like, oh my gosh, am I? Like, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, Anyway,
bad boy.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't actually date somebody like that, but
for a celebrity crush,
if it's a fantasy, that's never going to happen, clearly, because that's 1980s and I wasn't born until the end of the 80s. There you go.
All right. Dana, celebrity crush.
Hey, I like this theme, celebrity crushes.
Do you?
Okay. So I remember going to see an R-rated movie before I was old enough. And I always looked young for my age, but it was Richard Gere. An American Gigolo.
Okay.
And he's about my age.
Yeah.
I think he's really hot.
Okay.
But I'm also a big fan of Outlander.
Yes.
No surprise to you, Nancy.
No, not a surprise at all.
So Sam is all that in a bag of chips, but he's too young for me.
Okay.
So I'll have to go with Graham McTavish.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know who that is.
That's okay.
Watch Outlander.
Oh, okay.
Joe.
Hi.
Hi. If you were to, let's see, how's it go again? If you could date any celebrity, who would it be?
Well, over the years, it's changed, but right now it'd be George Clooney.
Ah, George, good old George.
Is it because of the home in Lake Cuomo?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I just love him. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
George Clooney. Mm-hmm. Jim.
I think he's got a specific answer in mind.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they were in a movie together. Mm-hmm. Mine is Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
He used to tell me, Joe, that that was going to be the next Mrs. Him.
Yeah, he loves her.
Yeah, my name is Jim Him. No, but I want to take this stalking story just a little bit farther.
Okay.
All right. Back in 2011, I was in Wales, and my brother lived there, and his daughters, we were out sightseeing.
Yes.
And they lived in Swansea, and there's a section of Swansea called Mumbles. It's a village, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
And that's where she was born, grew up, and her parents still live. So I'm telling them about, oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones, you know, woo-woo.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba. And or something like that. And they said, well, do you want to see where she lives? Okay.
So if I'm honest.
We walked down this kind of charming Welsh avenue of cottages and streets.
Right.
And sure enough, we came up to a door, and it was her house. Now, she didn't live there then. Her parents still did.
Wow. So
that's when I realized what a psycho it must be. But I would carry this
a little bit obsessed all the way to Wales.
Yeah. You become that guy.
Yeah.
So Nancy, who would be your celebrity date?
Do you have any idea?
No, I don't at the moment. I should probably. Donny Osmond, maybe.
No.
Hmm. I don't know. Who would it be?
I would just have to say Jeff Saturday.
Oh, Jeff Saturday. Oh, wow.
Yep.
The interim coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Wow.
Yeah, for somebody said former coach. Former center.
Yes.
But yeah, if I could date a celebrity, I would consider him a celebrity. And
yeah,
I actually had lunch with him once.
Did you know?
I did. Sat right across from him.
Uh-oh.
Was mesmerized.
I bet you were.
He's a nice guy. Yeah. He really is a nice guy. Cool guy.
David, Mike? Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you two answers.
Okay.
One is Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
They should never have killed the Black Widow. I got to tell you that. I may never watch another Marvel movie.
Spoiler alert.
It's only been out for 3 years, if they don't know by now. Basically, yeah, she is... You know, if I weren't married and she were married, I'd probably be doing what Jim did and stalking her. So, and then the other one would be Marie Osmond.
Yeah, that's
because fair. She thinks I'm cute.
She does think you're cute. Yeah, we met her a couple years ago and she thought you were cute.
Yeah, she did. So, hey, hi, David.
Hey.
Nothing criminating stuff about me.
Everything stays behind the microphone.
Yeah, what happens in the podcast stays in the podcast.
And only gets podcasted to everyone.
In the world.
Hi, everyone.
So, if you could date any celebrity, who would it be?
I had one in mind, and I was stuck without the name, but then we started talking about the Colts, and I've got to throw in Adam Vinatieri, just because... Back in the day, like
I would have dated Adam Vinatieri.
I would have dated Adam Vinatieri because he just absolute classic. Because the kicker for the Colts, for the very few people who don't know him, completely underrated. Because not only was he a fantastic kicker, we won't talk about the time that he did for the Patriots. I'd forgive him for that. But also, Adam Vinatieri also was a stand-up comedian at times.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there would be times like he would do stand-up places, and he was just always a showboat on the field. And you would hear him. One of my favorite quotes from him. Was after Andrew Luck retired, they talked to him. They were like, "How do you feel about that?" And he said, "You can retire? You can do that?" So that's my sense of humor right there. Adam Vinatieri, like he stole my heart right there. I could go on a romantic candlelit dinner with Adam Vinatieri here. And it saves me from not being able to remember the name of the actual person that I was thinking of. So I'm going to go with that one for today.
Okay. We'll take it. Andrea.
Hi.
I know who it would have been at one point in time.
Who would it have been?
Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, yeah, I did like him.
There was a phase.
Yes, there was a phase, and it held on pretty long because I was obsessed with One Tree Hill in college. So,
well, and Angela's was Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. Well,
evidence of that still exists in our house.
That's true. Well, and with how much Angela loved Orlando Bloom, I felt like I needed to have someone that I fangirled about. And so that was Chad Michael Murray. That would not be who I choose now.
Well, who would you choose now?
The person I would choose now's name is Ryan Kaur, and he plays Sir Harwin Strong in House of the Dragon. So
okay.
If you have watched that show, you will know who I am talking about.
I have watched it and I can't place him.
Really, Dad? Really? Come on. I'll show you a picture later. But I just find him very attractive. So I would, he's an Australian actor. I have not watched everything he's been in. I just really liked him in House of the Dragon. And I would absolutely go on a date with him. No question.
I also have a celebrity literary.
Oh.
That's a different one, right? A literary person that I would go out on a date with. Ooh. We're smiling, looking at each other. Cassian.
Cassian.
From A Court of Thorn and Roses.
You do love series. Cassian.
I do love
Meanwhile,
Cassian.
I'm a Hunt girl from Crescent City.
I was counting on you picking your favorite author who's sitting like next to you.
I didn't go for authors for celebrities.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
I was...
Wow.
I'm feeling very, very sunken here. I don't know.
With that,
we'll be moving on.
Courtney, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm still here.
You're still here. And if you had an opportunity to go out with a celebrity, go on a date with a celebrity, who would you choose?
Would it be a Colts player?
Or what people would choose?
Not. I'm not a football fan. Well, Jake Gyllenhaal, like Angela, I've got a list. So yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Colin Farrell.
Oh, I like Colin.
Forever Harrison Ford. That's the top of the list. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Like those older guys, don't you?
Jake Gyllenhaal's not that much older than me.
He's not that much older.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is.
He'd be old for us, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. That's saying something.
He's still got it, though. He's still got it.
He's got some swagger.
He's got his pilot license.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't, but he does.
Yeah, a lot of people drive too long, too.
Right. All right.
Thanks, Courtney.
Teresa, celebrity date.
It took me a long time to think of somebody. That memory thing.
Yeah.
Getting too old.
You took some Prevagen.
Yeah. But if it's just a crush, I would say I think Chris Hemsworth is really
nice looking
and I'm attracted to him. And I like Jason Statham. But it's funny because I was thinking, I really like... This is going to surprise you. Calm, stable type people. The only one I could think of is like someone like Tom Hanks. And then I thought, oh no, I like Jason Statham too. Totally different.
Different. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do like, and Jason Statham's usually in all
Statham
those.
Statham and Hemsworth, both of them don't seem like the calm. It's more like action hero here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's celebrity date. That's not commit your life to, right? Okay,
but honestly, if I were going to date someone, I'd rather date Tom Hanks. The others would be too intimidating to me.
Yeah.
But I'm attracted to him.
So Mr. Hanks, you're not in the least intimidating to Teresa.
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess I'm attracted to the guys that like have been married to their partners for a long time and just make more family oriented movies or something. I don't know. I'd be intimidated with the other two.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm boring.
No, I wouldn't say boring. It's a choice, right?
Yes.
It's a choice. So let's go down to, we're going to make this the last question
on
Valentine's. And those of you listening, if you've been listening for a while, yes, this episode is going a little longer than our typical episodes.
Just a little bit.
You can choose. I'm going to give you three questions.
Okay.
And you can choose which one you want to answer.
Okay.
Number one, describe your dream date. What would you love to do on a date? Number two, what is the craziest pickup line you've ever heard? Or number three, do you have any awkward or crazy dating story that you care to share?
I think I'm going to go actually with option number one. Because I have done this with a person before, but it's so fun. And it really only happened because I made it happen. It would be fun if like it was a dual effort.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love, I made it a day, and this is something I picked up from some other friends that did it too. Move the mattress into like the living room where there's the big TV screen.
Yeah.
Get a ton of food, breakfast food, like some really good themed food. I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this.
Okay.
And just watch all of the Lord of the Rings movies. So you have like second breakfast and you're going to have like some really good, like stew, you know, just Hobbit-esque type food and just watch all of the Lord of the Rings. We even got, glass mugs that are like, we frosted them and put beer in and like,
yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And I think that would be like with somebody I really care about, that would be just perfect because it's not like a first date, an early date kind of thing. It's like you're comfortable with each other, but it's cozy and fun and festive. So that's my dream date for the future.
Awesome. Dana.
Hi.
Do you have a dream date, a crazy pickup line, or a awkward or crazy dating story that you care to share?
I'll go with a dream date.
So if someone really wants to impress me, front row to a concert that I like.
Okay.
That's all I got
to do. Do you have any, can you give us a few recommendations in case they're sitting out there wondering what to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you have a concert coming up. That's not a surprise, is it?
No, it's not a surprise. I don't know that I've told the whole world, but no, it's, I have a couple of concerts that I'm going to this year already.
Nancy and I have been to more than a few concerts together.
Yes. Okay.
So our favorites, Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I'm not really interested in seeing them again because they're getting really old. The last time we saw them, they were really good. But I know Nancy's going to Lizzo. Now I want to go to Lizzo.
Yes.
I watched that concert on Disney Plus.
I did not buy front row tickets. We are in nosebleed section.
Well, I really like front row seats or close to the front row.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of concerts really close up. Like I saw the Jacksons and got their tambourine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've been to a lot of concerts really close up, but I like dance music. So anything that is upbeat like that.
Okay. That does sound like a fun date. All right. Joe.
Hi.
You get to choose one of these three questions to answer. So the dream date, a crazy pickup line, or an awkward or crazy dating story you care to share.
Well, I don't really have a dream date because we've done.
your person.
You want to say that with my person. I mean,
your person,
we've done
you've
so
been
much.
Able to do There's so many really, things. Yeah.
Probably one of the weirdest stories was when I, I have a couple of them, although one's probably. After I graduated from high school, my friends and I would go to bars all the time. So we were always meeting guys and whatever. But one time I met this guy, spent the whole evening with him.
Yeah.
And he said, I have to go now, because he kept looking at his watch. And I said, okay. He goes, because I have to get back to the rectory because I'm a priest. Now, I'm sure it wasn't real what he was saying to me. And I said, oh, you're nuts. He goes, no, I really am. He goes, I go out and this is, and I never believed. I mean, I didn't believe him. I never saw him again.
You didn't go to church to see if he was.
Well, he wasn't my church.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't even ask him what church.
You didn't stalk him like other people stalked their celebrities.
No. And then the other story, because I've dated a lot of guys before I got married, was I had met this guy and I thought, he was coming to pick me up. And I thought there was just something about him. I thought I should have never said yes to him.
Yeah.
So I told my mom I wasn't comfortable going out on the date with him.
Sure.
So I felt bad. I stayed in the house. My mom and dad, my dad sat on the porch, and when he got there, he told him, he actually lied for me and said that he didn't know that I was going on a date with anybody. And I had gone somewhere and he didn't know where I was at when I was in the house.
Okay.
And he tried, he tried to call me again, but I just ignored the phone call. I just wouldn't answer the phone.
You ghosted him.
Yeah, I did. I did. So I feel bad. I always felt bad about that. But there was just something about him after he had asked me out when I had met him.
You talk about the priest story. I have friends that I went to school. We went to high school with. And Sarah, her parents, she was like a week short of going to the convent. And her dad convinced her, no, you don't need to do that. And, they got married, six kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, she didn't marry your dad.
No, her dad married her mom. And they had six kids, but she was about a week away from moving into the convent. And
oh, Sarah's mom.
Sarah's mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just clarifying your story.
Sorry, hearers. Okay. So, all right, Jim.
I'll go with the awkward.
Okay.
I had a lot of that.
Especially with your cousins.
Hey.
Okay.
Going to practice dates.
I'm sure you're going to cut that out anyway. Okay.
Nope.
Well, lots of awkward things, but I think that the one that kind of fits in with other themes is the first time that I met my wife's family. And by family, I mean uncles, aunts.
Right.
It was
extended.
It was a family wedding.
Yeah.
So I was her guest at a family wedding. And, the day of that, I'd had two wisdom teeth taken out.
Oh my goodness.
And this side of my face swelled up about the size of a softball. So I look like, if you looked at this side, I look like a chipmunk. Uncle so-and-so. And that was truly embarrassing. And I'm glad it all worked out, but I didn't think it would after that. But
yeah. Well, all so right. David.
I mean, someone's got to jump on this pickup line question. So yeah. I guess I'll throw on the grenade here.
Give us some of the pickup lines or at least one.
Oh, I've got, I'll jump on the grenade fully. And one that I used to use for the new age of dating when emojis are now an option. Across all the ones such as Tinder, Hinge, whatever, J.Crew, whatever apps you can find. So with emojis being in the picture, I would create a Connect Four board out of it using like the little white dots and then just have one red dot and it would be the first move in a Connect Four game. And I would say, you're here to make a connection. How about four? It's your move. And that would be my kind of, it was an open, like that was kind of my move to be like, if you want to have a conversation. And I would get so many games of Connect Four. Some people I never even like actually like went on a date or talked to, but I'd have a great game of Connect
Four. Did you use that on your current partner?
I might have. And it might have worked. It also might have been why they didn't recognize why on one of the dates that they went on that they didn't recognize that I was really good at Connect Four. And why I might have accidentally won that game. I may or may not have accidentally hustled them. I'm like, it's literally on the profile. It's right there for you. No, but I've seen some great ones at bars too. Some of the classics. One of it, it's a cheesy line, probably everyone knows it, but I have seen this work. Someone went up to the bartender and they said, can you like help me out? Like my phone's not working. It doesn't seem to have your number in. And the bartender took it, looked at it for a second, like trying to figure it out. then realized, and they're like, you know what? That was good. And they gave him the number. I was like, I've seen it all now.
Really?
I have seen it all. But also the person gave it to him. I think they definitely did find the other person attractive. So
okay,
it worked though. It can be done as long as it's played with confidence and played well and played to kind of your personal style. Yeah. And as long as the other person also is interested. I think that's also part of where a pickup line goes wrong is that's also possibly just not their cup of tea and also maybe just not the right connection.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think about Angela when you went to senior prom. What was it he said about? Well, she's walking over to the mic to share. I thought that was sweet.
He gave me some good ones. He was actually probably just the sweetest person on the planet. He was the German foreign exchange student.
He was a nice guy.
He was so great. And we were driving home after prom and he was, I'm going to try to do the accent, but please don't make fun of me. He was like, I was going to say, are we flying to prom? Because you look like an angel and angels fly. It was so sweet.
It was sweet.
He was like, I've tried to look him up online so many times and he's I don't know where he is.
Not online.
But so, okay. I would love to reconnect with him. That's all.
Yeah. All right, Andrea, dream date, pickup lines, awkward or funny story.
I think that I'm going to share the awkward one.
Okay.
Early last year, I went on a date with a guy that I had been chatting with on a dating app for months and we never went out. Like it ended up being like a, why are you never asking me out kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We are talking every day and nothing's happening. So we eventually decided to go to a Mexican restaurant he liked on the north side of town. And we went and the food was fine. I've had better Mexican food.
But it was basic Mexican food.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. But he just was, he talked a lot, which is fine, but he didn't reciprocate any questions. And in my opinion, the awkward thing was that he had a sparkly gold watch on one wrist and on the other wrist, a bracelet made out of duct tape. And I asked him about the duct tape bracelet and I said, what's that about? You never know. Could be for maybe he was working on something and
working
just kind
on
of,
something yeah. or memory of somebody or his, yeah.
his hand fell off and he had to tape it back on.
It was a loose bracelet. So, but he goes, oh yeah, everyone asked me about that. I don't know. How do you not know? How do you not know why you have a bracelet of duct tape on your wrist? Like, what? Why?
Okay.
All that to say, it did not work out.
Yeah. Wish him well.
Yes.
Courtney.
Yes.
Dream date. What would be a fun date for you? Pickup line or awkward?
Yeah. So, I mean, off the bat, it'd be an expensive date, but the dream date, I think, would be to like someone book a short vacation just without telling, you know, say, hey, block off these dates, take this time, and then just go somewhere new and experience something new, eat some great food, have some fun in a new place. I think that'd just be a great
disappointed.
Date. Why?
Because I was going to say probably your dream date is the date that you and I do every May.
That is the best date, like the best calendar date.
Okay.
Is our date together every May.
We go to the race.
Gotta get a nice cup of coffee on the way, wake myself up.
Yeah,
get there, get our seats.
We have a whole method to the whole thing.
You keep me up midday when I start to like fade in the sunshine.
Well, the getaway sounds fun.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right. Teresa.
Well, she took my idea.
Did she?
Well, she didn't take my idea, but that's what I was going to say. I would like a short trip is great.
Yeah.
Even overnight, because I was thinking one of my favorite times in fairly recent history is going downtown and just taking, I forgot where we stayed, but we stayed at a nice hotel and walked around and went to a nice dinner and then went back to the room and watched, I'm sure, a Marvel movie or something. But it was just kind of fun and something different.
Something different, yeah. Mm-hmm. You see the city from different eyes when you do something like that, don't you?
That or I love nature. So if we went out and went to a new place to hike or something, but it would be more fun if it was like in a different state or something.
Yeah,
go for a long weekend and enjoy nature and then have a nice dinner, whether it's going back to wherever we were staying, like if it's a cabin or something, and just sitting out on the deck and watching the woods nearby or something, or mountains, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I'd like that too.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Mike.
Yes, Nancy, you want to tell me about yours?
I'll tell about awkward dating situation.
Okay.
Very first date. Young man comes to the door, pick me up. My father and my uncle are sitting in the living room with shotguns across their laps. We go out. Guy was totally oblivious. We get in the car because we went with another couple. They were out there. They were driving. And I was like, you know what those guns were, my dad and my uncle. He goes, oh, you know, are they hunters and stuff? I go, they were meant for you. He didn't walk me to the door. They dropped me in the street and I didn't have a date from anybody in high school for months.
Mm. Well, my awkward, so
it was effective, I guess.
My awkward story would be with the same father, your dad. So
first
time I got to meet him, he came up and he announced, I'm going to buy you a new t-shirt.
This was at church.
It was at church. I'm going to buy you a new t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, really? You are? He goes, yeah, it's going to have a target on the front so I can hit you from long distance.
You made it past that.
I did. I survived it. He was an awesome guy.
Yeah.
So Nancy, are we doing the random question or have we?
I would say that's our random question. That's was through those question. Three that everybody got to choose, but it's enough. Been a great time. We appreciate our friends for being with us today, sharing times and experiences and perspectives. And we wish all of you out there a happy Valentine's Day. Whether you have someone special in your life or not, you are special. You are loved.
Yes.
And
we love our audience.
We do love our audience and we love our friends. And it is nice not to just worry about a Hallmark holiday, but to really celebrate friendship and love and how things can be good. And even when they're awkward and a little cringy, they're good stories later, right?
That's right. That's right. So folks, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Cutters and Notch podcast. Thank you, Bill Whitehair.
Thanks, Bill.
And see what you missed, Bill. You were supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, thanks for all the work you do for us in post-production. And folks, we will catch you next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch. Podcast.
The Cutter's Notch Podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2. A collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch Podcast.